What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And getting on back to the war zones, tension zones, conflict zones around the world here. Russia is saying they have no desire to get into a new arms race with the United States, although it's very obvious that they have a good military that's built up. But they don't want to get into another race, because that was a big part of what took down the former Soviet Union. Getting suckered into just spending so much on building weapons, the rest of the economy collapsed here. But they are planning on having some kind of a response to the U.S. withdrawal from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. And Putin is still out there saying they would prefer going back to treaties that limited these nuclear arms rather than having to basically start building more and more of these weapons. All righty, let's see. We have a caller. Let's see. Frank in London. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Just the first thing, just to clarify this about you've never advised anybody to take their money out of the bank. You were the first person I've heard spoken about that, the first person, and you've said it on several occasions on your shows over the years, that you've advised people to take their money out of the bank and only keep what's needed, maybe to pay utility bills and so forth. That's one. So I just wanted to get that clear to the last caller. And now, I work in around London as a council officer, and I was doing some market supervision, something like that, and I couldn't believe the anger and the betrayal that people felt towards Theresa May with the so-called deal or no deal.
Yeah.
It's quite ridiculous, and people are very, very, very angry, people who voted on Brit exit, and it just shows that the blatant disrespect that the government have for democracy. I mean, they have no respect for people, and they have no respect for democracy. We see clearly now that Theresa May is probably a closet Europhile or something. No, it's definitely. I'm just looking at it.
There's nothing closet there. I mean, she was a hardline Remainer right from the beginning, and everybody knew that.
Yeah, yeah. So right now, the play, we just don't know what's going to happen now. Just it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks. That's all I can say.
Well, I think they should have that vote of no confidence. I think they ought to kick Theresa May out and put Jeremy Corbyn in there. And, at this point, with all the machinations and the obvious skullduggery, I think Britain should just leave the European Union and rely on the World Trade Organization rules to keep things going in terms of trade.
Yeah, I think, from my standpoint, I think opportunity abounds for businesses if they pull out. That's how I think, because I think this, in my opinion, I don't think, this European Union thing has a long life. I don't think it's going to last. I think in the next 5 years, we're going to see a breaking up, or at least a beginning of a breaking up of the European Union.
I'm in agreement. I mean, it was built with a built-in self-destruct mechanism called the European Central Bank, and then opening up the borders and just shoving in all the refugees. Yeah, the EU is going to tear itself apart. It's already starting.
Yeah. Okay, Mike. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much for the phone call. And I think the phone lines are open now. I've been having a discussion with Mike in our control room about various and sundry issues. All righty. Now, apparently, Russian prosecutors have announced criminal charges against the U.S.-born Kremlin foe Bill Browder yesterday, days before a Russian police officer could become president of Interpol, in a move that some Russian critics, let's be honest, Russian bashers, are saying might politicize the law enforcement agency. And in point of fact, it was on the corporate media early today how the United States is absolutely opposed to a Russian being in charge of Interpol. But apparently the charges against Browder accuse him of forming a group to embezzle funds in Russia, and they're alleging he could be behind the death of his employee, Sergei Magnitsky, in a Russian prison. So little skullduggery going on there. All right, take another phone call. Jim in Chicago, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. You know, with the market being down, in fact, they said we're at the point now, any kind of gain has been lost for the entire year. With that going on, the G20 meeting at the end of the month and interest rate going on, do you think the big boys about to pull the plug on this economy?
I don't think it's a case of them pulling the plug. I don't think they can stop it from sliding. Okay. It's coming apart. I mean, they've been doing so much market rigging that there's no underlying value in the markets. If you go back and you study the history going into 1929, you'll see that there were two phenomena going on. One was that the availability of easy credit got a lot of people investing in the stock market who really shouldn't have been investing in the stock market. In fact, you shouldn't borrow money to invest in anything. If you don't have your own risk capital, stay out of it or you're going to get slaughtered, which is exactly what happened. So many people were buying into the market, it ran up the price of the stocks, but not their underlying value. So when they had two crashes that year. The first was in August, and it wasn't that bad. And everybody figured, well, that's it. We've had our correction. We don't have to worry anymore. And then, of course, the big one hit in October. The margin calls went on out, and the entire nation was devastated. Now, we're seeing once again that between the availability of easy money and the plunge protection team, the stock market has been driven up in price but not in value. And a lot of people are over-leveraged. Now, mostly it's the big commercial investment houses. I think ordinary Americans are not as into the stock market. I mean, I know we've got all these TV commercials, you know, for E-Trade and trying to get ordinary people to come on in. I don't know how big a sector of the economy that is. But again, it does seem like we're repeating some of the mistakes that were made back in 1929. A big part of the problem is that following 1929, Congress passed a whole bunch of laws to regulate the way Wall Street did its business to try and prevent the kind of volatility that hurts investors. And over the years, one by one, all these laws have been taken down, such as Glass-Steagall. And Wall Street is just allowed to run rampant and do whatever they want, whatever makes, you know, the huge bunch of money in the fastest time possible. Nobody's interested in long-term profits anymore. They want that big score, that Wolf of Wall Street mindset. And pretty much everybody's saying there's going to be a correction of some kind. There has to be. Right. And it may start in the bond market.
Well, Michael, when you mentioned about everyone being or not being in the market, but if you have a 401k, you're in the market. Your pension funds are probably in the market. And what's worse now than in 1929, you have so many people in debt. But correct me if I'm wrong. Back in 1929, wasn't the government in the black instead of in the red like we are today?
I think the last time the government was in the black was when Andrew Jackson was president. What I meant to say was today, people who are trading in the stock market, they're not doing it on margin. Or if they are, they're going to get an ugly wake-up call. But you're right. All of our lives are tangled up in the stock market with the 401ks and the pension plans and the rest of it. And when it lets go, people are going to get hurt. People are already getting hurt if you look at what's going on in the market over the last couple of weeks.
You know, I read yesterday where right now consumer debt is at $13 trillion.
Yes.
So, well, no, I think we're going to have a major shakeup pretty soon, probably at the beginning of January or even March.
I would agree. They're going to try and hold everything together and make it look really good for the holiday shopping season. Of course, go on out and buy stuff. The economy is doing really great and everybody's working. But yeah, I think the early part of next year is when we're really going to start seeing it come apart.
And the thing about it, though, I am not a fan of Donald Trump, but you know they're going to blame it on him.
Of course they are.
So.
Of course they are. They're going to look at those tax cuts, and they're going to say, that's what did it. That's absolutely what did it.
Well, Michael, you take care.
All right. Thanks very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. We're going to do a shout-out to our Honor affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, the United States has announced they are preparing to list Venezuela as a state sponsor of terror. And this is being reported by the Washington Compost, citing U.S. officials and internal government emails. Now, it isn't that anybody has caught Venezuelan terrorists running around our country, but being put on that list of state sponsors of terrorists gives the president additional authorities to basically poke at them. And we have been hearing for months now talk about a direct military intervention in Venezuela to get Venezuela under U.S. control. Okay. We have Layla in Ontario on the phone, and normally we have a one call per caller per day rule, but in this case we're going to waive it because she wants to respond to Mike in Colorado. And I don't want to get into the situation where Mike and Layla are going to be flailing back and forth on my radio show. But Layla, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd like to object to his implication that the older lady he's implying that there's a degree of senility. And where was I, he said, in the 1930s? I wasn't born yet. I think he is a Zionist shill, just like that Neil from California that called once.
Yeah.
And when I said something about how I missed the patriarchy that was philanthropic. And then he said, well, I love my wife. I don't dominate her or abuse her. I have never said that. And this constant reference to me as a Palestinian, I was born there from families that had been there for 30,000 years, according to my DNA. I came as a child of two, as a British subject, because it was during the mandate. I wasn't even a refugee. So I came to Canada as a British subject. So I have lived in this country and traveled widely because of my background. And when it comes to being intellectually competent, I'll match my IQ at my age against his anytime. So that's it. I'm just tired of these Zionist shills or these so-called liberals trying to discredit me with old, unacceptable tropes that demean a woman and use every possible kind of insulting cliche. So, goodbye.
Well, goodbye, and well done, well said here. And if it'll make you feel any better, I actually got a lot of email about Mike in Colorado, all of it negative. So, anyway, thanks a lot for the phone call, Layla. We're going to let you go.
You have a lot of really intelligent, astute listeners. And that's
why I do
call in, and that's why I follow your show, because of the kind of audience you have. And then when we get a paid shill like this calling in, he needs to be discouraged because he needs to be rebutted. So thank you, Mike, for allowing me this opportunity. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, you're welcome, and thank you again for the phone call. We'll talk to you again real soon. And getting on back to the war zones here, the Islamic Republic of Iran's Medical Council is saying that the illegal economic sanctions imposed by the United States against Tehran have been having negative impacts on the country's health sector, saying there needs to be an immediate and humanitarian solution to the issue because Iran is unable to get access to medical supplies and various health services. So basically, they're thinking there should be an exemption and they're applying to United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres to say there needs to be something done here. And I don't know what the UN will do, if anything, but it seems perfectly reasonable to me to have a medical exemption to the sanctions. Now, this is a very alarming story. This is out of the Independent in Great Britain. The Trump administration hawks are putting the U.S. on a course for war with Iran. And we have been hearing them talk about war with Iran for years now. Everybody knows that Israel wants the U.S. to go to war on Iran, to break it up, to balkanize it the way they did Iraq, who prior to the war in Iraq was Israel's other regional political rival. And so now the U.S. has obediently smashed up Iraq, and now Israel is saying, go get Iran. And it looks like that may be about to happen. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, that may be the reason why the U.S. is very slowly and with as much grace and dignity as possible starting to pull out of their engagements in places like Afghanistan, and Libya, and now Yemen. They're talking peace down in Yemen. Because war with Iran is not going to be easy. It will not be easy at all. And, of course, it runs the risk of war with Russia. Russia's not going to sit there and let the United States grab off another huge chunk of land getting closer and closer to the Russian borders. Now, apparently, a few days ago, the Saudi justice system cleared the Crown Prince of any involvement in Jamal Khashoggi's murder, basically claiming the CIA's evidence, if they have any, is flawed. Saudi Arabia's King Salman is, of course, praising the kingdom's justice system for this. And Trump, as I mentioned earlier in the show, he's not taking any punitive measures against the Saudis over Khashoggi. And it is blatant hypocrisy because of all the sanctions that were leveled against Russia over the mere accusation without proof that Russia was behind the poisoning of Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, who still have not been heard from in quite some time. And Trump at least is being very honest about it, because in his press conference this morning, he was saying it's really a matter of business. If we stop doing business with Saudi Arabia, they'll buy what they need from Russia and China. So commerce trumps the dead body here. Is Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman off the hook? Well, maybe, maybe not. Because apparently quite a few of the princes in the family are turning against him. And remember, a few weeks ago, King Salman's younger brother, Prince Ahmed, returned to the kingdom from self-imposed exile weeks ago. And so apparently, according to Reuters, some members of Saudi Arabia's ruling family are agitating to prevent Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman from becoming king. So the U.S. may do nothing about it, but it looks like there's going to be an internal palace coup. Or if the U.S. is involved with it, it's going to be very, very covert. I think Mohammed basically proved himself to be less controllable than was desired. And he certainly did make a botch up of the war in Yemen. So we'll see what's going to happen with that here. Story coming out of the Daily Mail. Saudi royals have begun plotting against the crown prince and aim to stop him taking the throne when King Salman dies. Now, they're saying this is in the outcry over Jamal Khashoggi's murder. I don't think so. It's a power play, plain and simple. Crown princes get brought down. Kings get brought down. I think we're about to see it happen again. Okay, we're going to take a break now for some commercials, and we'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And I got yet another email about Mike in Colorado, reminding me that it is, in fact, against the law to promote a voluntary bank run, which I had recalled in the past, but... all the mail about this, Mike, it's all negative. It's all very negative. Okay, so getting on back to the conflict zones here. Apparently, it's not just Saudi Arabia who's tired of the war in Yemen. Apparently, the Saudis coalition are all backing away. They've spent a huge amount of money. They've caused a lot of damage. It doesn't look good. The optics are bad. And that may be why Saudi Arabia is now saying, let's talk peace. Maybe the Houthis just wore them down, just like the Vietnamese did to the United States. So there is a ceasefire in effect in Yemen for the first time since the start of the war. And hopefully... the United Nations and other humanitarian agencies are going to get in there and start taking care of some of those people, start taking care of the cholera epidemic. Meanwhile, here in the United States of America, this is one of the reasons why we shouldn't have bills that say for other purposes. Republican leaders on Capitol Hill moved yet again to block a vote to wind down U.S. military support for the war in Yemen, this time by tucking it into a rule governing legislation that removes gray wolves from the endangered species list. This is how messed up the system is. One has got nothing to do with the other. And they stick it in this bill and they figure, that, oh, the Democrat, oh, yeah, it's going to get on through. Because the reality is, when those bills get to the floor, I mean, they're huge with all the additions and inclusions. I mean, do you remember the size of the Affordable Care Act, how big that was? These members of Congress aren't reading that stuff. Their staffers are supposed to read it and prepare precy, but they can't get through it all. Remember when Nancy Pelosi was talking about, you know, we have to pass it before we can see what's in it? It's a joke. That's why so much bad law gets passed in this country. Over in Israel, at least 25 Palestinians, including a journalist, were injured by Israeli live fire during the Freedom Flotilla protests at the northern border of the Gaza Strip yesterday. And the protests were held in support of the launch of a flotilla titled Freedom Ship 16 that set sail from the port of Gaza in an attempt to break the Israeli siege on the enclave. So instead of starting outside and sailing in, this one started inside trying to sail on out. Where did they get the boats? Well, these other Freedom Flotillas that have gone on in there have made a point of donating the boats that they use to the Gaza fishermen. And eventually Israel turns them over and they've got it. So the Israeli forces live fire wounded 25 people, including Associated Press cameraman Rashed Rashid, who were all transported to local hospitals for medical treatment. And Rashed was filming hundreds of Palestinians who were protesting on a beach by the border fence near Beit Lahia. So about 30 fishing boats joined the flotilla, which was organized by Gaza's National Committee for Breaking the Siege. Now, for some reason, Israel has started banning the exit of processed foods from Gaza. And there's now a ban where Gaza cannot send processed foods to markets in the West Bank or Israel. And this, of course, is causing serious economic harm to Gaza. And I'm waiting for somebody in Israel's government to stand up and say, well, look, if you're going to do this with BDS, then we're just going to do the same thing with Gaza. But again, it's just another form of oppression. Meanwhile, over at Airbnb, they have made the decision to remove all properties situated in illegal Israeli settlements. And they did that a day before Human Rights Watch was due to release this report into the company's complicity in the dispossession of Palestinians. So they sort of beat them to the punch, as it were. Now, Human Rights Watch issued a 65-page report, Bed and Breakfast on Stolen Land, Tourist Rental Listings in West Bank Settlements. And it just created this ugly, ugly picture of Airbnb's policy, accusing it and other platforms such as Booking.com of supporting Israel's illegal settlement policy. But Airbnb has now said, we're not going to do that anymore, which is a good thing. Okay. All right, looking at the clock here. Over at the United Nations Security Council, the UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process, Nikolay Mladenov, said he remains very concerned by Israel's persistent use of live fire against protesters. As well, he should be. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I'm going to go off on a tangent because the story just came in now, which I think is worth mentioning. Apparently, Sarah Sanders has now released the new rules for the White House reporters, and she made a point of saying they created these rules with a degree of regret. And given the position taken by CNN, the White House felt obligated to replace previously shared practices with explicit rules. And the rules are, there's only four of them. One, a journalist called upon to ask a question will ask a single question and then will yield the floor to other journalists. Two, at the discretion of the president or other White House official taking questions, a follow-up question or questions may be permitted, and where a follow-up has been allowed and asked, the questioner will then yield the floor. Rule number three, yielding the floor includes, when applicable, physically surrendering the microphone to White House staff for use by the next questioner. Rule number four, failure to abide by any of the rules 1 through 3 may result in suspension or revocation of the journalist's hard pass. So very appropriate. Don't know why they didn't have it all along. And clearly is aimed at Acosta's rude confrontational behavior. Okay, getting on back to what's going on over in Israel. story coming on out from MondoWeiss.net about how Israel is almost starting to overplay screaming anti-Semite at any supporters of Palestinian rights. You know, that if you think Palestinians are human beings and they deserve human rights, oh, you're an anti-Semite. Apparently, in order to be a lover of Israel, you have to hate the Palestinians. I mean, that's basically the message that's going on out. Over in Great Britain, the Quakers Church has become the first church in Great Britain to announce it will not invest any of its centrally held funds in companies profiting from the Israeli occupation of Palestine. And in a press release, the faith group said the trustees of the church took the decision in light of its long tradition of ethical investment, which the Quakers do have. The church said they refused to profit from the occupation of Palestine, pointing to its historical divestment from apartheid South Africa, the fossil fuel industry, arms companies, and even the transatlantic slave trade. They have been around for a while. Over at the University of Michigan, they've got into a little bit of a controversy regarding BDS. And it all comes down to this associate professor, John Chaney Lippold, who was asked by a student to write a letter of recommendation because the student wanted to go study in Israel. And John Chaney Lippold said, I'll write you a letter of recommendation to anywhere on earth except Israel. And the administration came on down. His annual merit-based pay raise was frozen for 1 year and sabbatical suspended for 2 years because of his decision not to write the recommendation letter. Now, the fact of the matter is he's gotten a huge amount of support among the students for taking a stand on this issue. And very clearly, the tide is beginning to turn despite all the money that Israel is spending to propagandize college campuses. It's not working, or even worse, it may be backfiring. The students may be smart enough to realize when they're dealing with these paid Israeli propaganda shills. But it looks to me like support for Israel is really starting to fade on the universities and even in America in general, even among American Jews. They're starting to pull back and say, no, this makes us all look bad here. And, okay. All right. Now, the United States and Australia are developing or redeveloping a joint naval base in Papua New Guinea to counter China's influence in the region. You can see the double standard and the hypocrisy there. If China builds bases on China's islands, ooh, bad China, they're being aggressive. If the United States and Australia put a naval base in Papua New Guinea, which neither one of them own, I would like to point on out, it's just there to counter China's aggressions in the region. Okay, let's talk about the economy, because the numbers are not good. And once again, as we saw back in 2008, the credit default swaps are rearing their ugly head and credit spreads are blowing out. And the credit default swap market is going for junk debt. And the exposure from all these credit default swaps globally is more money than the planet is worth. Now, for those who don't know what a credit default swap is, it's like an insurance policy. If you buy a house, you can buy fire insurance on it. If you invest some money in a company, you can buy a credit default swap as a form of insurance to reduce your losses. If the company goes out of business and your original investment is gone, the credit default swap returns at least part of that investment to you. And they're very popular on Wall Street, but they're unregulated. For one thing, you can buy a credit default swap on somebody else's investment. Can't buy fire insurance on your neighbor's home. but you can buy a credit default swap on somebody else's investment without limit. And whereas regular insurance companies are required to keep cash reserves on hand to deal with a expected number of claims coming on in, the banks that were selling credit default swaps, the financial institutions, didn't. That's what happened back in 2008 when the mortgage-backed security fraud collapsed and all those credit default swaps came due. There went Lehman Brothers. So that it's looking like, once again, we're getting into that situation. China has now sealed a currency swap deal with Indonesia to use their own currencies bilaterally, ditching the U.S. dollar. I think it's another sign of China's displeasure with the United States, along with dumping U.S. treasuries. Iran and Iraq are looking at doing trade in their local currencies and dropping the U.S. dollar. It's starting to accelerate, this de-dollarization. Now, Ray Dalio, in an interview with Barry Ritholtz for the Masters in Business podcast, basically said that if the dollar were to lose its reserve status, the dollar would lose 30% of its value. And that would cause quite a bit of chaos. Personally, I think it might be worse than that. But it's going to happen. The more the United States tries to throw their economic weight around the world and use the dollar as a political instrument of control, the more the world is turning away from it. Now, as you know, it was a bad day on the stock market today. The Dow was down 600 at one point. They pulled itself up. I think it closed around 530 down. But I imagine a lot of investors are getting very, very nervous here. And amazingly enough, it was the tech stocks that were leading the downturn. Facebook is looking at their third straight month in the red. And they're looking at more and more problems. I mean, the social media giant stock fell nearly 5% on Monday alone. That's the lowest level since February 2017. And this was after that New York Times article about how top management hired a PR firm to smear critics of Facebook. So they're on a losing streak. And they're not the only ones. Google stock is down. Netflix, Apple, Amazon. They've seen their stock prices plummet by about 20%. Facebook has had a fall of 39% below its year high. That's pretty bad stuff here. And Netflix has had a 35% drop. They're blaming it on the competition coming in from Disney and Apple, which are rumored to be starting their own TV streaming services. Amazon blamed a widespread sell-off in tech stock for their poor performance. But all of the so-called FANG stocks, which stands for Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, they're now in bear market. Facebook investors have lost 39% of their paper wealth. The combined market value of the FANG companies has dropped by $610 billion. Now, as far as Google and Facebook are concerned, yeah, good. That'll teach you to start abusing your customers with all the censorship nonsense. For those of you still playing around with Bitcoin, it went below 4,500 today, which is well below what used to be considered its floor value of 6,000. Okay, now French bank Société Générale has agreed to pay $1.3 billion to resolve criminal and civil charges in the United States and France for bribing Gaddafi-era Libyan officials and manipulating the LIBOR interest rate benchmark. Remember back when we were talking about how LIBOR was being rigged? This is one of the banks that did it. So apparently They're going to pay $717 million to the U.S. Department of Justice, $420 million to New York's Department of Financial Services, $163 million to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, $81 million to the U.S. Federal Reserve, $54 million to the U.S. Treasury. So you can see how the mechanism works. The banks cheat the customers out of money. And they get caught, the government sues them, and the money that started with the customers winds up in the government's hands. Now, a few weeks ago, there was an interesting story where Venezuela wanted their gold repatriated. They're trying to rebuild their economy, and they wanted a solid foundation to put it on. And the Bank of England said, no, we're not going to do that. We're concerned of the high corruption in the Maduro government, that they may be engaged in money laundering, or they're going to use the gold to buy drugs. Just all kinds of excuses. Well, nobody was really being fooled that all of a sudden the Bank of England is the world's policeman for money laundering. So over at the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, their chairman, Bill Murphy, was on Gold Seek Radio with Chris Waltzek, basically saying what I had suggested at the time. The Bank of England doesn't have the gold to send back. There may be a physical shortage out there. And this may well be a global problem. Now, again, we covered this on America's Book of Secrets on the History Channel, where there does seem to be a lot of empty space in these bullion storage vaults. And there's talk about rehypothecation, which is a fancy name for where we're going to keep the gold on the books and pretend it's still here, but we're going to send it out the back and we're going to lease it out for other people to play around with and make money. And they'll bring it back eventually. And then, unfortunately, they're not able to do that. Or some of it just got melted down and coined up to power the market for physical gold that's been out there for a while. And as I mentioned yesterday, there has not been a full audit of the gold in Fort Knox for 50 years. Now, if it turns out that this gold is missing in all of these places, that's going to cause a tremendous amount of chaos in the financial markets for anything that is dependent on that gold for its value. So we'll see. Now, over in the European Union, they're looking at setting up this special purpose vehicle for Iran, so that Iran can go on doing business despite the sanctions. And down in Cuba, one of their senior officials is saying, you know, that's looking like a real good idea, that Cuba could benefit from a similar mechanism to basically get out from this, what, 60-year now U.S. embargo? So Cuba's watching what's going on very, very carefully. And if it works for Iran, Cuba is saying, yeah, we need something like that here. And I keep saying it, the more the U.S. tries to sanction and tariff everybody, the more the world is reorganizing the global economy without the United States here. The U.S. is talking tough again. They're promising to disrupt oil shipments to Syria. They're going to put sanctions on Russian and Iranian companies. And the U.S. is throwing sanctions once again against what it describes as a network of petroleum shipments to Syria, including Russian and Iranian companies and individuals. Washington says it wants to disrupt shipments to Syrian-owned ports. And six individuals have been sanctioned over these oil shipments to Syria. Now, here's an interesting question. Why is the United States once again sanctioning Syria for the oil? It's just trying to keep the tensions going over there. It really is. To me, it's a signal that the United States has not abandoned the idea of getting Bashar al-Assad out of power. All right. Some numbers for you to think about here as we head into this next commercial break. The national debt in 2018 is $21.6 trillion. By the year 2040, it will be $100 trillion, and none of that is including the unfunded mandates. It's out of control here. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economic news as we come up here on the top of the hour. Target shares tumbled 9% as their earnings have missed their forecasts. Target is also saying that they're having to pay higher costs, which is hardly confined to Target, I'm sure. So let's look at some companies that are letting people go. Apparently, Haagen-Dazs, is going to be letting 1,000 people go from their ice cream manufacturing facilities. General Motors is now offering voluntary buyouts to 18,000 salaried employees. If there are not enough volunteers, there will be layoffs. Broadcom is going to lay off almost 2,000 workers. Wells Fargo has told the public it anticipates eliminating approximately 1,000 positions. Starbucks is going to be laying off hundreds of workers, mostly from the company headquarters in Seattle. Nationwide Insurance is going to be reducing the size of their national workforce by about 1,100 workers. Boston Scientific is planning $150 million in annual cuts, and that will include layoffs. Blue Apron is eliminating about 100 more jobs as it desperately tries to stay afloat. Cisco laid off approximately 460 workers earlier this month in their bid to cut costs. Blue Cross Blue Shield is laying off 250 workers in South Carolina as it shifts its resources around. The economy's tightening up. There's no question about that. We were talking about this the other day, and Victoria's Secrets is in trouble. And the CEO of L Brands, which owns Victoria's Secret, the CEO of that division, Jan Singer, resigned last Wednesday because of the slowdown in sales and what's being claimed as a lack of diversity in the line's iconic annual fashion show. Now, this basically came on the heels of responding to pressure to have plus-size models and transsexuals added to the runway. And Victoria's Secret basically said that's not our image. And focus groups show that people are going to be turned off by that more than turned on by the rest of the models. So it's a business decision. But the other part of it is their products are very expensive. And again, the economy is tightening up. And I think probably people are going to go back to realizing that nudity is very inexpensive. They have a lot of money that way here. Okay, Russia and Turkey have officially completed construction of the offshore portion of the Turkish Stream natural gas pipeline, which will be delivering natural gas early next year. And over in Great Britain, they're going to have to raise the age for pensions up again because of their deteriorating economy. People are going to have to work into their 70s. All right, we're going to take a break here for station identification, and we will be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.